Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to the End Zone Podcast. It is Super Wild Card Weekend, as the NFL has branded it. And let's just get right into it. Trey, you have lined up a very special guest. Today, I'll just let you take it away.
Yeah, appreciate that, Eric. Today on the preview show for the Super Wild Card Weekend, we have Teron Davenport of ESPN.com, covers the Tennessee Titans down in Nashville, Tennessee. Teron, how are you today?
Hey, man, I'm doing really well. Appreciate you guys having me on.
No, we appreciate you for having me on, or appreciate you coming on here. We know you're really busy during this time, especially with the wild card situation with the Titans going on. So we really appreciate you giving us the time to come on here. So let's just jump right into it. And this is probably the biggest game of wild card weekend. Titans Ravens. Titans Ravens at Nissan Stadium. First home playoff game for the Titans in 12 years, I believe. And it comes against probably one of their first ever playoff rivals as a franchise dating back to the early 2000s. TD, we've heard so much talk about the early 2000s Titans-Ravens playoff matchups when both these teams were even in the same division. So, I mean, we've seen some back and forth talk and some tension between these two teams dating back to last postseason's Titans upset win over the Ravens and the Titans win over Baltimore earlier on in November, I believe. So if you could, are you feeling that same sort of tension between these two teams leading up to this wildcard game, or is it all maybe a little bit overblown?
I think it's overblown when you go beyond the last two games, as far as the regular season game in week 11 and the playoff game last year, because I mean, a lot of these players, they weren't even around when the Ravens had Ray Lewis and the Titans had Eddie George. So that has little relevance. It's kind of irritating when people get into all that, because it's like, it has no bearing on this game. So I think, you know, the main thing is the rivalry that these guys got now. I think it's just the way these two teams match up. That's the bigger picture for me.
Yeah, 100%. It's a big battle between two teams that love to run the football down people's throats, two physical football teams, two teams that have an attitude on both sides of the ball, even if the stats might not show for it for the Titans side of things. So, I tend to agree with you saying it's pretty much overblown. The past is the past, and I'm pretty sure both teams are focused on the matchup that's ahead of them on Sunday. I want to sit here and I want to ask you about the Titans defense. I know it's been well known of how bad their defense has been this year, specifically when it comes to defending the pass. But when it comes to the Ravens, we all know what we're going to get with the Ravens. Physical, I guess it's a creative run offense spearheaded by Lamar Jackson, J.K. Dobbins, and the rest of that running back group up there in Baltimore. Are you all that concerned with the Titans' ability to stop the Ravens' offense, considering the Ravens aren't all that dependent on the passing game? Or does the running game present as much as a challenge as it would if the Ravens were able to pass the ball through the air with a lot more success than usual?
I think it presents a huge challenge for the Titans, and it comes down to this. They're finally starting to spread the field and create more space for Lamar Jackson to operate. And I asked Shane Bowen about that. And he focused on the way they try to get you in space one-on-one and make you miss. And that's something that not only Lamar could do, who, by the way, does it as good as anybody in the league, but you got J.K. Dobbins able to do it. Gus Edwards is just going to run through your face. So that's another option for them. So it makes things a lot tougher. But then when you mix in the run, the thing is with this team, or mix in the pass, with this team, you got Mark Andrews, who is so good at settling into those windows and zone coverage, which is an area where the Titans really struggle. You look at some of the things that have happened with tight ends. They've had some success. Tyler Eifert, Eric Ebron, these are guys who have done some solid things against the Titans. So that's an issue. It's a two-pronged thing, and it's just really tough when you have a dynamic player like Lamar Jackson. You have to change the way you rush the passer, too. So it presents a lot of problems.
100%. Eric, you got something? Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was wondering on the defense, Mr. Davenport, if you could just talk to me, what do you think has been different this year? Because obviously last year it was not this bad. Obviously they had injuries in the secondary that kind of hampered them down the stretch last year. But especially you look at the safety play and a guy like Kevin Byard, who I thought played exceptionally well last year and has just not been – great at all this year, and I would argue has been kind of a liability. What's happened that this secondary especially has regressed this much? Because I don't think this defense was ever at the point it is now last year, even when they were giving up some passing games to teams like the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, it was always bend but don't break under DPs. And I think when you look at his scheme, think about the safeties that have played in his scheme. Rodney Harrison, or Ed Reed. You know, you're talking about Kevin Byard. You know, these are all guys that have done really, really well in his scheme. Because, and even Kenny Vaccaro. And in talking to Vaccaro, he said that DMP's his scheme, you know, has really allowed him to play safety to the fullest and be able to drop down in the box when necessary and play single high, you know, or being too deep. I think that's something that you have to look at. And Kevin Byard, in my opinion, he's more of a post safety, a guy who likes to come down and make plays in the passing game that way, as opposed to playing as much in the box. And that's been an issue. They're using him more in some man defense, and he's had some struggles there. I think really it's just nothing is going right up front as well. The pass rush isn't there, so that's not, you know, helping a lot either. And that pass rush issue, you know, losing Logan Ryan, losing Jarrell Casey, who was typically the shoot man on those TE stunts that they use, it's been costly. So it's a combination of things. Byard will tell you that he just has to play better, but it's a combination.
Do you think that going into year two of kind of a new scheme, we'll see improvement from this defense next year, or do they really need to, we're a long way away from that, but do you think they're going to totally overhaul it in the offseason, or do you think they're going to stick with the defensive coordinator and the scheme and just hope people fit in better in year two?
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen. I could see them bringing in a defensive coordinator. Shane Bowen is kind of holding that place, but he's not necessarily the DC. He's a really good outside linebackers coach, so I would definitely think they would keep him around for that at least. However, I could see a guy like James Betcher, who used to be the Giants DC. I'll tell you a guy to really look out for, and that's Gerard Mayo, who's up there as the inside linebackers coach for the Patriots. You know, Jim Leonard is a really good one in Wisconsin. You know, that's something that I've seen recently. So those are all names. D'Amico Ryans is a guy. You know, there are plenty of options. So I could see them bringing somebody else in. But then you have the whole idea of, you know, having to get into a scheme that you could settle into. And if you notice, in 2018 to 2019, there was a difference in how good the defense was, and that was because they were there playing in it and they had that understanding of the principles, which allowed them to play fast.
Absolutely. Well, I'll throw it back to Trey now, but I'd just like to say, I know you have to leave us here in a few seconds. Thank you so much for a little bit of your time. I know it's super busy this time of year, and we'd love to have you back on sometime. Trey, you can wrap us up here.
Yeah, appreciate. I want to echo what Eric said. Appreciate you coming on here with the limited time that you have. Really appreciate your insight, though. So 100% really appreciate it. before we, you know, you get out of here, you want to plug your stuff, see where people can find your work.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you guys having me on. It didn't work out fully, you know, time-wise, and I apologize for that. I will make it right next time.
Hey, please don't worry about it, man. No worries.
Yeah, no worries at all.
No worries. Appreciate
it. As far as stuff to plug, actually, there's a post that went up on Thursday about Derrick Henry and the high volume of carries. I definitely would like to direct some people to check that out. I got to talk to Adrian Peterson, Jamal Lewis, Sean Alexander, and Eddie George about Derrick, and there's some really good stuff in there, so check that out. It's on ESPN.com. That's where you can find my work. You can hear my show, Talking with TD. You can search it on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, all of that. Every week we talk Titans, and I have a show with Nate Washington, former Titans receiver. That's on Fridays, ESPN, The Game, Nashville, 102.5.com. Yeah, we have our show on Thursday this week, so check that out. Got Kadri Ishmael coming on, so appreciate you.
100%. Appreciate that, man. Really appreciate it. Hope you can come on next time, though, so really appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate you guys.
No problem.
All right.
All righty.
All right. Well, that was fantastic. Thanks again so much to Mr. Davenport for coming on the podcast. We're definitely going to try to get him on in the off season so we can go a little bit more in depth. But let's continue talking about this game a little bit, Trey. Because I had a question for you.
Okay.
So we talked a lot about the defense. Tell me how this offense matches up against Baltimore's defense right now. And do you believe that they can, you know, have success against Baltimore's defense? Because Baltimore's defense been playing pretty well these past few weeks, mm-hmm. especially in their secondary.
Yeah. In their past meeting, and I believe it was around mid to late November, the Titans rushed all over the Ravens in the second half. And that was really the big reason as to why that offense turned their performance around from the first half and ended up winning the game. And that game was played for the Ravens without Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell, men in the middle of that defensive line, and in order to aid in the attempt to slow down Derrick Henry. Now that the Ravens will have Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell, but they'll have both of them back for this game. So it's going to be a tough matchup for sure for that interior Titans offensive line. Nate Davis, Roger Saffold, Ben Jones, those guys are going to be probably the most responsible for taking care of those two guys, because those two guys can eat up space. They can handle a lot of meat up there in the middle, and they can just slow down run games. So, and have a lot of penetration. They can just put a whole wrench in what you want to do in the run game and even in the passing game. So I think this Titans offense can handle the challenge that both Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell present, because they did it in the postseason last year when Derrick Henry ran for 195 yards, but that was without Calais Campbell. So it'll be a big challenge for sure. But I think the Titans offense is much more diverse. They're more explosive. They execute a lot better this year. So I think they'll have a better chance at of dicing through that Ravens defense and having more success in both the run game and the passing game throughout the game.
Big X factor here, though, Yannick Ngakoue playing a mm-hmm. lot better down the stretch. He's got some injury concerns. He's not practicing currently for the Ravens. Yep. But if he plays in this game, that's huge kind of X factor that could really turn things in the Ravens defense's favor.
Yeah. And he was, I think the Titans are going to run out David Questenberry. And so even when the Titans had out Tyson Brello, when Taylor Lewan hurt his ACL, Yannick Ngakoue was dominating out there against Tyson Brello in week 3 when he was still with Minnesota. And even he had some really good snaps against I can't remember if it was Sambrella or Questenberry in the Ravens matchup, but he had some good snaps in that Titans-Ravens games too, Titans-Ravens game as well. So that'll be, yeah, you're right. That's one big X factor to keep your eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we pick this game? We're going to pick all these games.
Yeah.
Scores involved as well.
Okay.
Maybe we go and put together a little Word doc, make a little friendly competition through the playoffs, me and you.
Sounds good with me.
All right. So let's go. Let's put ice cream sandwiches on the line, too. You about that?
I am 100% about that. Let's do that.
All right. For ice cream sandwiches, the end zone playoff pick 'em. All right. So, Trey, let's go your score and pick for this game.
It's a difficult game to really pick because both teams are playing, I guess you could say, relatively well in offense. But I think I'll slide with the Ravens here. They're the team that's playing better football collectively as a team. They're playing much better defensive football than the Titans. So I'll take the Ravens. It'll be a close game, though, so I'll go maybe 27-24. Let's go with that.
Titans 24. I think it's going to be a much higher scoring game.
You got me Titans or Ravens?
I'm going to go Ravens. I'll say okay. Ravens 38, Titans still 24. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a blowout in the Ravens' favor. I just think that nobody right now, we didn't really talk about the Ravens' offense a ton, but nobody's playing better right now than Lamar Jackson. And I mean, you can say Josh Allen's up there too. That's fine. But with the limited weapons he has, what he's doing on a weekly basis right now is pretty insane. And it's simply because he's in this Patrick Mahomes category right now where he's just not making mistakes. There's no throws that you're going to say, oh, that's a bad throw. Josh Allen has one of those throws a week. He has still bad throws occasionally where you're like, oh man, that could have ended really poorly. But
yeah,
you know, Lamar Jackson's just not making those mistakes. And he's up there with guys who are also not making mistakes with Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. So I think that the Ravens, to me, we didn't do this last time. So maybe throw in while we're picking the games, if you see the team go into the AFC Championship and Super Bowl, and at the end, we'll do it. Oh, but only if you have them going there. To me, again, the Ravens are my AFC Championship game team, one of them, and I believe they'll be in the Super Bowl as well. So I think that this is a really good team, and I think they're going to take care of the Titans as much as I like the Titans.
Yeah, I think so, too. If the Titans were playing better defensive football, I think I would have been more comfortable with maybe imagining scenario where they would win this game. But the Ravens are just playing on another level on both sides of the ball right now. And say what you want about the opponents that they played over the past 4 or 5 weeks or so. They've still played really well. So who knows? I'm still going to comfortably slide with the Ravens here.
Absolutamente. Let's get to the next game. We'll just switch back and forth between picking them. Where do you want to go?
Let's go. You know what? Let's go. I think I'm going to be a villain here. Let's go Bears Saints. Let's go Bears Saints.
This one sucks. All right. I mean, Bears Saints. Let's just talk about podcast programming right here. We're going to have Walker on for Monday show. Maybe we should try to get two for him. Maybe we should get Ryan too. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Let me slide in his DMs real quick. But yeah, I mean, okay. So I'm going to make you chose this game. So I'm going to make you argue. Can the Bears upset the Saints?
The Bears can upset the Saints if they limit the amount of pressure that they allow on Mitchell Trubisky. They get their run game going, and they play stout defense, specifically in that short passing game. They'll win the game if they do that. Although, Mitchell Trubisky is always prone to those boneheaded mistakes that make you question why he's an NFL quarterback in the first place. So, I don't know. I'm a little bit more reluctant to so imagine a scenario where Mitchell Trubisky doesn't commit turnovers because he does it every game. I don't know if these last couple of games are tricking me, which I think they are, but I want to have hope because I like the Bears. I like when the Bears are good, but I don't know. It's scaring me. I'm scared to, you know, even imagine a scenario where Mitchell Trubisky plays well against the Saints defense.
Yeah, that seems sort of like an unlikely proposition. You know, but they could do what they did to the Packers, which is not let Mitchell Trubisky throw the football and run the ball with David Montgomery and keep it a low possession game where you force the Saints to score quickly, which I'm not sure they're equipped to do, to be quite honest with you. This could be a really short game, I think, because I think Sean Payton's game plan is going to be run the clock down and try to score with the running game and maybe go for the kill early and then just play possession football down the stretch. But if the Bears don't let that happen and the Bears say, okay, you want to play a slow game, we'll play a slow game too, and both these teams only get like 6-7 possessions, that's a game the Bears can win, is a game where they're only having 6 or 7 possessions. Because if they can be efficient in those 6-7, then they have a shot to win. But that has to happen or else the Saints are really going to pull away with this. One thing about the Saints is their offensive line is just playing otherworldly right now. I mentioned this kind of on the NFC pregame show. I have not been totally convinced by the Bears defense this entire year. I mean, Akeem Hicks has been very good for them and he's the key part of the defense, but everybody else has been pretty quiet. Robert Quinn, that was a failed trade. I mean, Khalil Mack has been honestly a little bit quiet these past few weeks.
He's been meh. He's legit been meh. Seriously.
I don't know. The defense just doesn't really get me going as much as it gets Bears fans going. And, you know, I think that this could be one of those games where we say, oh, hey, Michael Thomas, we kind of forgot about him this year. This could be a Michael Thomas game. I really do think that's the case. He, to me, is the guy to watch for on the Saints. Because who knows if Alvin Kamara is even good to go for this game.
I forgot about that.
So this game is actually sort of interesting. So
I don't know. David Montgomery has been playing really well, and I never, because I was a big fan of David Montgomery in his rookie year, but he was running into the backs of offensive linemen time and time again, and Bears fans sort of turned on him, and I was upset. But now he's finding his success, and he has a chance to continue it against the Saints. I just don't know if he'll be able to do that. And then if that doesn't happen, they're going to force Mitchell Trubisky to throw the football, which I am so scared of him doing, even if he's been playing well. I might be just, you know, being so, like, cautious, though. Who knows, though?
Yeah, who knows? I think we're overthinking it, though. I really think, you know, this is fun to do for a podcast conversation, but, you know. This is the one game where I'd be, like, absolutely shocked if the Bears win. I honestly wouldn't be that shocked if somehow the Washington football team just played lights out defense and snuck out an ugly game against the Buccaneers. That to me is a less shocking result than the Bears somehow beating New Orleans in New Orleans.
Really? No.
There's just no chance the Bears win this game.
Yeah.
100% no chance, but they take care of business.
And even with Drew Brees being a corpse.
I mean, yeah, there's just no way. And if Drew Brees looks bad, like, they'll go to Taysom Hill. And Taysom Hill will probably have more success. And they've shown they can run an offense with Taysom Hill. I mean, the only way they lose this game is if somehow Drew Brees and Taysom Hill get injured and Jameis Winston comes in and throws like five picks. But I'm still not convinced that Jameis Winston's going to throw five picks in this offense. I still think Jameis Winston would light it up in this offense.
Dude, all and three, I thought the same thing.
All three quarterbacks on this Saints team are far superior to Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. And that's it. In the playoffs, it comes down to your quarterback. Like you could say all you want about defense is important, but if you don't have a quarterback that can score, then that's an issue. And,
yeah.
And currently – Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston are all far superior quarterbacks to Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. So I'm going to go blowout here.
Okay.
I think the Saints offense keeps rolling. I'll go Saints 35, Saints 35, Bears 17.
I'll go Saints 31, Bears 12. Let's do that.
That would have both of us having the Saints covering a large spread quite easily. Yeah, there's just zero way the Bears keep this thing close or win this football game. So moving on, let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks playing the Los Angeles Rams. This game is tough. Tough. The status of Jared Goff. Very much up in the air. Robert Woods yesterday said Jared Goff was, quote, slinging the ball pretty well. Okay, that's one of Jared Goff's teammates. I don't really think he's going to say, hey, our quarterback is injured. I just do not 100% buy he's playing in this game as I pull up the injury report. He's been practicing lightly the past 2 days. It sounds like he practiced today, according to the stuff I'm seeing on Google. So maybe he plays, but I've been on the Jared Goff's bad train for a bit now, and I'm going to stick to it. That said, the Seahawks are not much better right now. And things are not going right for them. And, you know, I think it's a combination of everything. I've been watching a lot of Seahawks this week. And
really?
You know, I think it's the wide receivers aren't getting open. I think the line's not great. I think Russ is missing throws. I think he's hesitant when he drops back. He looks uncomfortable. And I just don't think the play calls are that great either. I think it's a jumble of all those things that are making them into a bad offense. And I don't think the defense is that good because we talked about it. They've played nobody. And Sean McVay is not nobody. This is going to be a slugfest. If you can take the under here, I'd take it.
What's the under for this game?
I'm not sure. Let me pull that up really quick. I don't see either of these teams cracking 22 points. I know. Combined, yes. But alone, I don't see either one of these teams cracking 22 points. I could see them cracking 20, but that's about it. I
see one team cracking 25, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just need to see it. I need to see it from the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. We talked about this on a Tuesday show. Haven't seen it since like early November. Like this, this team's been dead for a while.
And it has.
I don't know, man. I'm just not entirely sold by them. I hope I'm wrong, and we're talking in a month about, you know, Oh, yeah. Easily take the under. This game's points total is set at 42.5.
42? That's wow.
That's way too high.
I'll take the under on that one.
Yeah, I'll take the under as well. I just, man. I hope we're sitting here talking about the Seahawks in the conference championship game.
Hopefully.
You know, 2 weeks from now. I like Russell Wilson. I have fun watching him. You know me. I've been hyping up the Seahawks all year.
Yeah, you have.
I just don't buy them right now. They're not a good team. This game's tough because I don't think either one of these teams is a good team.
Yeah, I
think they're both arguably kind of bad teams. Like, they have strengths. Rams' defense is otherworldly good. Okay, mm-hmm. I'll give them that. But outside of that, they're the best unit in this game. That's true of all of them. And who knows what happens. I've got bad feelings, and I didn't know how I was gonna pick this game, but I think I've started to talk myself in one way.
Give me an ugly score. Give me an ugly score.
I think it is gonna be 13-16.
Maybe I'll take 19-15.
Yeah.
A couple touchdowns maybe for both teams.
What do you think? I've been talking a lot through this one.
I think it's the same as you. I mean, the Seahawks have been struggling on offense. The Rams' defense is good. The Rams' offense will be with an injured Jared Goff. And the Seahawks' defense is, I mean, they haven't played anybody to warrant confidence moving forward with their
– Jamal Adams might not play.
Oh, he said he's playing.
Oh. That is
he said he's 100% playing.
That's news to me.
I don't think he would. I don't think he would sit that game out if his finger was torn off. But I don't know. I agree with you. It's going to be a low scoring game, ugly game, boring game. Probably a game that you don't want to introduce to a first time football watcher. Guaranteed that. Like I said, I'll go with Seahawks 19-15. I'll be surprised if any team cracks 22. You said 22, right? 22?
Yeah. I would say no team cracks 22. Somebody could score 20. It's not hard to score 20. But
it's not.
I just don't see more than like 2 touchdowns per team in this one.
We're going to look so stupid if this game ends up like what? Like 33 to like 30.
I would love that.
Yeah, but we're going to look stupid in the process.
Man, oh man. I don't know. I'm going to do something I've never done before in my entire life.
Okay.
Well, I'll let you pick first.
Oh, for I said Seahawks 19-15, and I'm not budging on that.
All right. Trey. With a score of Seahawks. I have to register these. That's why there's brief pauses here. Seahawks 19, Rams 15?
Yes.
I, for the first time in my entire life, am picking against Russell Wilson.
Solely
for the reverse jinx that it might cause.
You're not supposed to say reverse jinx, though.
I really would like him to dunk on me and just make me look incredibly dumb. That would make me so happy. But I'm taking the Rams here. I just feel like this is a Rams game, and they're going to win 13-10. It's going to be an extremely low scoring. I'm worried about the Seahawks offense just entirely imploding, which is what's going to happen here. And please play this clip back when they drop 35, and I'll be happy again.
I'm reverse jinxing. Beliefs of how ugly this game is going to, you're only going to have Russell Wilson scoring 10 points, even in reverse jinxing.
I really do think that he's, it's not him, it's everything else.
Okay,
and it is also partly him. It's not going to be his fault that he only scores 10 points. It could be the fact that Brian Schottenheimer has gotten back to his weird, let's run like 36 times a game and run in situations that don't really make sense. Let's, you know, It's going to be that fact that DK Metcalf can't beat a double team for some reason. It's going to be the fact that Tyler Lockett is their only consistent wide receiver. And throughout the entire season, he's been entirely inconsistent. Either he drops like three touchdowns or and 200 yards, or he has like six catches for 50 yards. That's kind of the only two options for him, it seems. He is not a consistent guy. I just think things are going to go badly. And I think the defense is not legitimate. And I think that the Rams might be able to run the football. And I think that they might be able to hit a few deep play action shots. And Jared Goff might have a tiny bit in him to get a win. He doesn't have to do a lot.
Sure doesn't.
Russell Wilson has to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff does not. I'll take the guy that doesn't have to do a lot.
That's fair.
Take the Rams. All right, where are we going next?
Let's get the weirdo. Let's get Bucks football team out the way.
Bucks football.
Isn't that like a see? We were discussing this, and at first we were all like, "Washington stinks." Aside from their defense, give me Tom Brady.
Washington still stinks aside from their defense. The point I was making earlier is it just would not shock me if this defense balled out of its mind, got pressure on Tom Brady up the middle, which is how you beat Tom Brady. The corners stepped up.
Yep.
Pair of a shorthanded wide receiving group for the Buccaneers. Who knows if Mike Evans plays or not. And they win some kind of ugly game where the Bucs offense disappears like it has its stretches this season. That could happen. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I mean, the Bucs are just like the best offensive, like one of the better offensive teams in football right now. They play extremely well. Tom's Brady is just playing at a level that really hasn't been there in a while. And I think that honestly is an indictment of the Patriots again, because I mean, I think with a better cast of characters, I don't think his season is that much different. And I think we need to praise Tom Brady more. The man is 40 something years old and he threw 40 touchdowns this year. Like, To think that this has been a, quote, down year for Tom Brady. No, it hasn't. This has been, I would argue, one of his better years of the past 3 or 4 years. And I think he's a top 10 quarterback, like, hands down. And you could make an argument for just outside the top five. You really could. He has been, his numbers this year have been a little bit insane. I know the turnovers are up a little bit, but who cares? I mean, the defense gets stops and he's just out there slinging around 4,600 yards through the air. Holy cow. 65% completion percentage.
65? I didn't think it was that high.
40 touchdowns. Sure, I've been critical of Tom Brady all year, but numbers and film are starting to not lie. Over the second half of the season, he has been an elite quarterback. A Tom Brady Super Bowl run just would not surprise me. They have to go through the Packers, but I mean, if they go up to Lampeau and Tom Brady outshoots Aaron Rodgers, that just would not shock me at all. I don't think it's going to happen, but they're playing really good right now. The only thing that doesn't make sense is they continue to give Leonard Fournette the ball. That's the only thing that doesn't make sense. Everything else about the offense makes sense and works. Except for Leonard Fournette, which
that guy, I dude,
shoving
you know
the
how,
ball down bro. His slow, bad, not trying, terrible dog crap throat. So
I would literally, I'd get freaking Vaughn, their rookie running back, out of Vandy DeBall before Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, well, I mean like, Ronald Jones, and it's especially stupid because Ronald Jones has been awesome this year.
It's the best year of his career. You can give the ball to a tank who can't move. Look, it's I think, yeah, like when you were talking about Tom Brady, yeah, I think we can call him a top 10 quarterback this year, even though he had stretches where he didn't look like one, which it was, I thought, because when he was going through that stretch where he was playing some ass football, I was quick to blame Brady, but then I shifted my blame towards Bruce Arians because he has 42-year-old Tom Brady throwing 60 go routes every single game when his arm just isn't like that anymore. But he made it work towards the end of the year, and that's where his numbers start to look real, real well. And I think that emergence of Antonio Brown, that relationship that those two have, on-field connection that those two have, has really helped with this play down the stretch. I think with Tom Brady, though, and that Bucs offense, if they and I don't know if they've, you know, shifted towards a more of a Tom Brady, more friendly sort of offense as we've gone down the stretch. I haven't watched a lot of the Bucs. You might have, so you might have more experience with that question, though. So, but if they've started incorporating more shorter throws and more concept that Tom Brady that
they're actually a big play. They're kind of a big play offense right now.
Really? And that's I never thought we would see that success, though, because his arm just isn't like that anymore.
But you say that, Trey, but go watch some Tom Brady highlights today from this year.
I watched the Falcons game. He looked good.
His arm still is like that.
Really?
Like he might miss a throw or two, but, like, to talk about Tom Brady the same way we talk about, like, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, and Philip Rivers.
No, not that. I'm just saying based on his standards, you know.
No, I would say his arm just looks about the way Tom Brady's arm has always looked.
Really?
I mean, he got outclassed by the league upgrading in arm talent. Like but he was never Patrick Mahomes. He was never
Josh Allen.
He was never Aaron Rodgers. But he's still got a really good arm.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I would highly encourage you to go check out some Bucs highlights this afternoon.
Yeah, might make me do that.
They are extremely fun to watch right now. I love Tom Brady right now. He's playing fun football, and I'm excited to see what he does against a really good defense. So, it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I do think there's a potential it's closer. Looking at Washington, I mean, Alex Smith is turning the ball over right now, which is an issue if you want him to be a game manager. Game managers can't turn over the football. So,
give me Heinicke, bro.
I mean, he showed a flash, but no.
I just try to stir the pot here. I mean, I've never been that much of a fan of Alex Smith ever since he came to Washington, though.
I mean, he's fine, but they're going to upgrade him the offseason. You know,
they have to.
You know, he's what they got. He's the only option they have. You know, he's fine for their standards. He needs, what else are they going to do? I don't know.
Shouldn't be the case, though, because Dwayne Haskins shouldn't be garbage, but he is.
Well, he has always been garbage, Trey.
I know. I thought his rookie year.
No, there was never a moment in my mind where I thought, oh, Dwayne Haskins could be something. He's always been garbage. He's never going to get a job in the NFL again, I don't think, and he's just gone. He is.
I think he might get a training camp invite.
Maybe a practice squad guy, but I think he's one of the bigger busts in the NFL in recent history, especially for where he was drafted. I mean, he's not playing here.
Mm-mm.
You know who is playing here? Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat could make Tom Brady's life a living hell. And that's,
he sure could.
That's what the Washington football team has going for them. They match up well against Tom Brady. They get pressure up the middle, and they shut down your best players.
Yeah, with De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen playing out of their minds.
It could happen. I don't think it will, but it could happen. I'm going to go – I'll go Bucs, lower scoring affair. Bucs, for Bucs standards. Bucs 24, Washington football team 17.
Okay, I'm gonna go lower than that with the football team. I'll go Bucks 22, football team 9 or 12. No, Bucks 22, football team 12. I'll do that. Because with Alex, I don't think the football team is going to be able to finish those drives against.
And who knows? Buccaneers, we were praising the Buccaneers defense for about the first month and a half of the season as being some shutdown operation. Like, all you need is like three good games of defense. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Like, it could happen. They could find the defense for three games and go on a run. And, you know, if they can't find a defense, who knows? Maybe Tom Brady outshoots Aaron Rodgers. But
who knows?
I'm ready for Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady next weekend.
Yes, I need that. Like, fun I need time. Air. Yes, sir. Time. Yes, sir.
Okay. Did I pick that one or did you pick that one?
What? Football? I pick football team.
Okay. Let's go. So we got two left, right?
Yes, I believe so.
All right. Let's go Browns Steelers. I'm interested in this one because both these teams are just not playing at the height of their powers, but the Steelers are the more talented roster. Yep. So this is a classic question. In a case where coaching is pretty much off the table for the Browns, and it's just the Browns versus the Steelers, talent versus talent. Sure, Mike Tomlin's there, and he's a really good coach, so give Steelers a coaching edge. Does talent beat talent? Because if talent beats talent, the Steelers should take care of the Browns. But if talent doesn't beat talent, there's a case to be made for the Browns. I just don't think the Browns are totally dead in this game. I refuse to believe that.
Especially with how well they've been playing in the month of December, too, and how bad the Steelers. The Steelers looked bad against Indy for like a half until they – it wasn't even like a half. It was like three quarters, the Steelers looked bad against Indy. No, the Browns aren't dead. No, they're not dead. They've just been hit with a lot of unfortunate circumstances, and not having your head coach, your tone setter, on the sideline for your first playoff game in 18 years, that's certainly a really unfortunate circumstance. But no, the Browns aren't dead whatsoever. Look, there's been a lot of trust with their offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt. I believe that's his name. Hopefully I didn't butcher it, but there's been a lot of stress with the Browns offensive coordinator. He's been a big part of that offense this year. And I think they're not going to panic. They're going to do what they've been doing, which is run the football, go play action, and hope their defense can get some stops. That's what it's going to be. And that's what it's always been for the past, for the whole year, basically. So they're not dead. They'll just continue to do what they've always been, but the storyline's always there 100% when your head coach, you know, comes down with COVID and he's not going to be available for the game.
This is one of the games I'm kind of most interested to watch just because I have zero idea of what either one of these teams really is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the Steelers have changed. Like, I've watched the Steelers, I think, the least since their downfall started just because I didn't want to watch bad Ben Roethlisberger. But I finally got around to watching a few games this week. And, I mean, he truly is awful right now.
Yeah.
That second half, so awful. Mason Rudolph looked like the better option last
week. Oh, don't say that, Eric. No, don't say Mason that. Mason Rudolph
threw some dimes last week.
Oh, don't do that.
I know. I laughed at Greg Rosenthal, too, when he tweeted it, but I went and watched. Man, he's right. He threw some dimes.
Oh, don't say that.
He wasn't good, but he threw some dimes, and he looked better than Ben. And
can we just say both dudes stink, though?
Yeah, fine. Both dudes stink, but that still is not good news for the Steelers.
I mean, That's always been the deal with the Steelers, though. Just let Ben throw 4-yard passes all game.
Who says the Browns can't win this game, too? I don't think either of us are saying that, but, like, they have the recipe. I mean,
they do.
Run the ball.
Yep.
Have Ben miss, like, 3 or 4 throws, punt 2 or 3 times, be extremely efficient, score field goals and touchdowns every single drive, basically.
It's easier said than done, though.
I know it's easier said than done, but I don't know, man. I just think I don't know.
I'm talking myself hard.
Into the Browns here. I am.
Really?
I'm talking myself into the Browns.
Really? I mean, I don't know.
You can't out talent, no running game, and bad quarterback.
That's true.
You can't out-talent that.
That's true. But see, if the Steelers get the Ben, the big Ben that they saw in like the second half of that Colts game, then the Steelers win. Like, and I think they win by like more than that. I think they win by like 2 scores if they get that big Ben.
That's maybe.
Because that big Ben was actually really good, though.
Yeah, maybe. But who knows if you get that big Ben?
Yeah, that's true.
Even Ben. I don't know. I don't like people counting out Baker. I don't like you counting out Baker.
I'm not counting him out.
This is what this is. This is what this is for all of you clowns out there on the internet. Oh, Baker's not good enough to compete in a playoff game. Oh, Baker's a game manager. Okay, you haven't watched Baker Mayfield over the past few weeks. He's played really good football. And
this man...
Number one thing in college was that big games, he was the guy. This is a big game. He shows up in primetime. He showed up against the Giants, had his best game of the year. Showed up against the Ravens, second best game of the year. Primetime playoffs, he's going to show up. He is. And I'm going to take a victory lap on Walker Kelly on Monday, and I'm going to take a victory lap on you too, because I'm lumping you in with the haters. You're on the list now, Trey.
I don't know. I have to be so cautious with Baker now these days, though. And like, I'm so scared.
Let yourself feel something.
It's hard to buy into Baker, even with how well he's played.
Love again. Let yourself experience the beauty of the world. There's nothing more fun than rooting for Baker Mayfield.
Is it really, though? I can find 10 things more fun.
Have you ever looked in that man's eyes?
Yes.
There's something different about Baker Mayfield. Lamar's got the same thing. It's just fun for them. And Patrick Mahomes got the same thing. It's just, they're built a little different. They're a little fiery and Baker's a little more fiery than both those guys, but man, he's just.
I rooted like hell for the guy when he was at Oklahoma, though. Does that count?
I just think he's gonna ball. I just think he's gonna throw up a Baker ball performance where he puts up like 280, 290, maybe 2-3 touchdowns, looks really good, and hits a few deep shots and. Man, oh, man.
Does that? I'll take back everything I said, though.
All right. I got to do this now.
Okay.
Browns take this game in what it turns into one of the best games of wildcard weekend. Browns 27, Steelers 21. Because the worst thing that can happen is this is a field goal game. Because Parker is the kicker. And that's the one thing that scares me about picking the Browns is Cody Parkey is the kicker.
Doing.
That could go very poorly for me. Very, very poorly for me.
Gosh, I'll feel so bad for you if he doinks like a game.
But hey, I'm picking the Browns. You got to have a little bit of difference here and there. I think we've got to pick differently a little bit. We can't have this whole thing come down to which scores are close.
Yeah. I'll go Steelers, but I think it'll be a close game. More like, let's say, 24 to 21, 20, something like that.
Steelers 24, 21.
I'll say Steelers 24, 20. I'll roll with that.
Four Browns. Browns 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's finish up. A little Josh Allen action.
Yes, sir.
A little Phil Rivers action. No, don't. Stop it. Okay. Now we're going to have to go off on this. Listen, my man. Phil Rivers has been fun. He's been fun all year. I really am super glad that we got him in the playoffs ahead of the Dolphins.
And
those were the two teams I wanted to see in the playoffs, were the Colts and the Browns. I don't think the Colts are going to beat the Bills. I'll say this right now. I'm picking the Bills. We'll figure out a score at the end of this. But Phil Rivers is fun. I think this is, an entertaining game for about the first half. Bills pull away in the second half.
That sounds perfect, actually.
I like Phil. He's fun. He's lighthearted. He's dadgum good. And, you know, he's just a guy. I did just drop a dadgum on this mother freaking podcast, you know?
You did it.
This is all it is. It's all it is on this gosh dang podcast. And, gee whiz, we're going to take care of business and Colts are going to make this a fun game. They're just a freaking fun team to watch, man. Holy
cow. Oh, my gosh, man.
They're just a good time. I love Phil. He's just having listen to the intro of this podcast. He's just having fun. That's all he's doing. He's just having fun. Phil Rivers is just having fun. And that's all I want to see. He's just having fun. I just want to see Phil Rivers have fun. As long as he has a little bit of fun, I'll be okay.
Okay, I will admit that the entertainment Philip Rivers gives us when he's mic'd up is probably top three all time. Like, I will admit that. Mic'd up Philip Rivers is probably the top three all-time sources of entertainment.
He's just having fun.
He's just having fun.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is. I don't know. I actually think, like you said, it will be a close game for those two quarters and the Bills pull away in the second half because the Colts' defense is just that good. And their run game on offense has been real good. But I think this will be a test for Josh Allen and that Bills team. True. Simply because it's their first playoff game at home. Everybody's jacked up. There's going to be fans at the playoff game too. So I know they're going to be jacked up. Just keep your composure. See if you can get going in that first quarter, second quarter, and then keep it going in the second half. It'll be fun though. It'll be fun. This is a fun game on paper. Honestly, it might not look like it, but this is like a fun game on paper.
Yeah, I have to work at 11. I think I'm bringing my computer into work with me, and you know, I might have to end up watching this whole game at work.
Do that. Don't miss this game.
I can't miss a second of this one. I got to see what's on in the afternoon, though, because I don't want to miss what's on in the afternoon in my transit, you know?
I think it's Bears. No, Bears Saints on Sunday.
Oh, it's Seahawks Rams. I can miss a few seconds of that.
You can, because it's going to be a horrible game.
No, defense can be fun.
Yeah, if you like defense. But who likes defense?
I like defense.
What?
I like defense. I like
So you're telling me
football.
Yeah, of course. But would you rather somebody score or you see a game with like 70 combined points or a game where both teams can do nothing on offense? You see like 35 combined points.
Depends. Is it because of offensive debauchery or because the defense is making plays?
No. Let's do the first one.
Offensive debauchery, no. I don't like watching offensive debauchery. But I don't think that's what's going to happen in that Rams-Seahawks game. Like,
really? Because with the Rams – make
some plays.
With the Rams, though?
Rams defense at least is going to make some plays.
Yes, they will. I'm talking about the Rams offense, though.
Yeah, there could be some debauchery. Who knows? Okay. Maybe it's the game I'm least excited for. But still, I mean, I like football. All right. Yeah. Who you got here? Oh, I shouldn't. And then I'll give mine.
Okay. I got Bills. 31-20. Let's do that. 31-20.
All right, I got something kind of similar. I think we head into half. Everybody's shocked that it's a 17-17 game. Bills end up winning
35-17. Okay. It's good with me.
Put up some points in the second half. Get out of there. Move on to divisional
weekend. Freaking enjoy it, Bills fans. They've waited so long for this.
Enjoy it, Browns fans. Enjoy it
all. Yeah, Browns fans. But I'm just saying the Bills fans, they have it at home. They have it at home, man.
It's a playoffs. Here's what you got to do this weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Throw away all of our responsibilities.
Yes, sir.
Shut out your family. They don't matter. The only thing that matters is football.
Football. We only have it.
We only have
six, a month,
10, 12, 13 games left. That's all we got. That's all we got.
Yeah.
That's all we got until yes, the sir. Dead of the worst time of the year.
The end of bro.
Which is the end of February.
I mean, ugh, that's a horrible time.
Terrible time. Those 2 weeks between the combine and
they go so slow, dude. Those are the worst. They're
the worst 2 weeks of the year.
And then we get into March, the new league year, free agency.
And it's
then we
fun
get
into again. Combine. Yes. And then the yes. offseason is here. Huzzah. And then, we love football. We love football.
We do. We love but those 2 weeks that at the end of February where it basically kills us, though.
13 games.
It's not a lot.
Watch them all.
They're going to go by so fast.
No excuses.
None.
I might get dragged into my job to do some producing.
You think Aaron's going to let his job get in the way of him watching football?
Guess what? Do you think I'm going to not have it on in the background?
No, sir. Laptop? No, sir.
Of course, I will be watching football. Football above all else. The NBA can take a dirt nap. The NHL can take a dirt nap.
Yes, they can.
February's done. It's all football.
Yes, sir.
Football. Football, football, football. Every day. Football.
Yes, sir.
Game pass. Football. All the time. Yes, sir. And then sadness for 2 weeks.
Back
to watching more football.
Yes, sir.
And getting ready for free agency. And then the draft. Mm-hmm. And then the dead period, where you watch way more football because you have so much free time.
Nothing you're to not do.
Spending watching other football.
Yeah.
So you watch more football. And it just keeps going in this beautiful cycle. And it's just football until we die, you know?
Tape dogging. Tape dogging in that dead period.
Tape dog. That's absolutely correct, Trey. Woo! I'm going to get yelled at. I'm sorry for... I'm going to get yelled at by the people I live with. But I am hyped up. I am excited. Football, baby.
Yes, sir.
Just a good time. All righty. Let's do this thing. AFC title game, NFC title game, Super Bowl picks. Early on, these can all change. We'll change them every week, honestly.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do. But starting now, go, Trey.
My A, are we doing the two teams that are in the game or the team that's going to come out in both conferences? Two teams.
Final four.
In the AFC, I have Kansas City and I have Buffalo. That's just my safe pick. In the NFC, I have Green Bay and I have Tampa Bay. Or no, that's not going to be possible in the NFC title game. Excuse me. No. Look, you got me
excited. Well, if the Bears won, that's possible.
Really? Okay, yeah, for my fantasy.
Because at that point, the Bears go to Lambeau. Yeah, in the seed. And the Bucks go to.
They could host?
You know.
They could they still host?
No.
They couldn't?
At that
okay.
point, they'd. Well.
In that division
they could host if the Rams won.
Yeah. Okay, for my fantasy NFC title game picks, I'm going to have Green Bay and Tampa Bay if chaos happens. But for realistic purposes, I'm going to stick with Kansas City. Not Kansas City. Good gosh, I'm screwing up right now. Green Bay and New Orleans is my title game. Green Bay and New Orleans is my title game. And I'll have Green Bay coming in. So.
All right. And your Super Bowl pick?
My Super Bowl pick, I will have – You're going to – okay. Okay. For coming out of the AFC, I will have Kansas City. Okay. Out of the AFC, I'll have Kansas City. I was so tempted to say Buffalo. But I'll have Kansas City out of the AFC, Green Bay out of the NFC, and I'll have Green Bay in a Super Bowl.
All right. I got to pull this up. make sure I have it correct because I wrote this down somewhere.
Aaron Rodgers another ring.
I have NFC because I know that one off the top of my head. NFC, I have Packers, Saints. 1-2. Very simple. Nope. There might be an upset here or there, but 1-2. Saints, Packers, both take care of business. AFC, Ravens, Chiefs. Super Bowl, Ravens, Packers. I'll go Packers. Packers.
Both have Packers. Both Packers. Both have Packers as Super Bowl champs.
For right now. That could change if I
like. Sticking with that. Stick with it.
No, it's going to change every week. That's we're cheating.
That's not fair.
Well, we're going to cheat. all right. That's good. Thank you so much to Teron Davenport again for joining us. Thanks to Trey for lining that up. That was awesome. And, yeah, I mean, breathe. Smile. Eat food. Sit on your couch. Watch football. Join us Monday. Monday evening. Back at it. Recap wild card weekend. Until then, folks, get your sleep now because you're not sleeping this weekend. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.